get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Producer A Radio with a Y.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. There's more beer in there. I can see. What did he bring there? Just out of curiosity.
Cigar City Highlight IPA. I don't know what this.
That's very good. By
Killer
the way.
Whale Cream Ale.
All from right.
Florida.
Awesome. So we'll be getting to that at some point. But we just started with what we have.
It's drinking Wednesday instead of drinking Friday.
Usually Friday is the day we drink on air, but today is our Friday. So it's also What Are the Odds Wednesday. So when you call, text, tweet, or send beer with a message on it, put odds on it. That simple. If you missed the first hour, lots of good stuff all available at podcastarena.com. We had me running over a little kid. We had some gambling talk. We had some generic sports talk and some non-sports talk. Curtis, what are the odds Fred runs a half marathon by his next birthday? Well, percent 1,000 I'm going to try. I've already got one scheduled for February. But that was kind of my goal, was to do that. And then at that point, decide if I'm really going to try to run a marathon or just say, you know what, that's as far as I go. But honestly, the way I feel today, I think I could do it now. Dustin, what are the odds Barry Warner starts speaking in a dialect we can all understand?
Yeah.
Hey, Barry's Barry. He's a Hall of Famer, and we're not. So we just roll right along.
That's
with
right.
It.
He's got me beat.
What else you got there? Is the clown shoes?
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. And some 512. I love that stuff.
Look at you.
We got plenty
of beer. The party started,
yep.
I guess.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Let's grab a phone call. Zach, you are on The Blitz. Go, sir.
How's it going, sports guys?
Sports to you.
Hey, what are the odds that, you know, because of the recent marijuana scandal, Robert Medici ends up falling out of the first round and ends up being one of the real steals in the draft, such as like Shane Ray or Lael Collins?
Man, I can't imagine that guy's going to fall out of the first round for
weed.
I mean, if there's something more wrong with the guy, which I'm not going to rule out as a possibility, but if it's just pot, he's going in the first round. I mean, there's a big gap between him and the rest of the talent at that position.
Yeah.
I mean, he's clearly a top 10 talent, so I don't think he's going to fall out of the first round.
And the CBS...
The Texans probably won't take him.
Well, you know what? The guy who asked, would the Texans take a defensive player? If that guy's sitting there where they're picking...
He's not Texans worthy, Fred. He smokes pot.
No, they've taken pot guys before.
Have they?
Yeah. Sam Montgomery was a pot guy.
How'd that work out?
Well, Jonathan Joseph was a pot guy.
Yeah, but they didn't draft him.
No, but they signed him to a big deal after that.
They waited until he was done being a pothead. They assured that he wasn't potting.
They've spelled out very specifically the kind of character guys they will take that have question marks. And they've always said a pot guy is because they were real interested in Tyrann Mathieu. He didn't want to come here. So they'll take a pot guy. And if that guy's sitting there and the quarterbacks are gone, I'm guessing, 18 to 22 is probably where you're going to wind up picking, somewhere in that range. But I would pounce on that guy in a second. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Okay, let's play this game because somebody says, which half in February? If it's the Austin one, prepare harder because of the hills and stuff. No, it's the Rhythm and Blues Marathon, which is actually here in town, and it looks like a very cool thing. Apparently, there's bands like every mile. So... I'm looking forward to it. I wouldn't have said that a month ago. I would have said, God, I can't believe I signed up for this thing. This is stupid. I'm actually looking forward to it now. God, I am turning into an avid person, aren't I?
Yep.
This is kind of screwy.
You're a weirdo.
Yeah, a little bit. But, hey, I do it so that I can drink. All right, so we're going to play a little game. These are not teams that are in the playoffs right now. Okay.
Okay.
But we're going to replace.
Because we assume that every team that makes the playoffs would win the AFC South if they played in the
AFC
South.
Okay, well, one team that right now is currently out of the playoffs, we're going to assume the Steelers would. We're going to assume the Chiefs would.
Of course.
Okay, we don't even need to have the discussion.
We don't have to have
But here's what we're doing. We're replacing the Colts with this team in the AFC South. And the Jets are currently out of the playoffs, but I think at 9-5, we can safely say the Jets would win the division.
Of course they would.
All right. How about the – now, keep in mind, you get six games against the Texans, That's Jaguars, right. and Titans. The Buffalo Bills.
I think they would definitely win the AFC South.
I'm with you. What about the Miami Dolphins?
That one's tougher.
Yeah.
I still think they're a bad team. But remarkably, as much as I think Ryan Tannehill sucks – I still think they would have the best quarterback in the AFC South this year.
We're two for two.
I think they would make it.
All right. The Oakland Raiders.
Oh, definitely. You know I like the Raiders.
All right.
If they didn't have to play the Broncos and the Chiefs twice, yeah, that's a playoff
game. I think we can safely say Chargers, Ravens, and Browns, no.
Ravens and Browns, definitely no.
Boy, Chargers, they're not good, man.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I know
I'm
you want you. Them to be good, but yeah, they're not good.
You're right.
All right, let's.
They're so bad on the road, especially.
Yeah, and all right, we'll try some NFC teams now since we went through the AFC, but that gives you a lot of possibilities. I don't know what to do with the NFC East because it's the same division,
it's the same thing.
So we'll just draw a line through all those teams.
Okay. Although I do think that most of them would win the AFC South.
I'm not so sure, man. Again,
not the Cowboys.
Honestly, I don't think the Redskins, Eagles, or Giants would either. Those are bad football teams. They're just as bad as the teams that are in there. All right. Rams at 6-8.
I think yes.
49ers, I'm going to go ahead and say no before
no,
you.
No, they're awful. You know, I think the 49ers, I think, are the worst team in football.
Okay. The Detroit Lions.
Yes.
I'm kind of with you on that. Because they were losing games against a very tough schedule early, and then they kind of got their act together.
Name an NFC South team. Yes.
I'm not there yet. All right. What about the Chicago Bears?
Yes.
I would say probably not.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, I do. No. Look at that team, their record against the division. And they play in a pretty tough division. They've played Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit. They're 1-4 there.
The difference between them and the Texans is pretty negligible to me. They've got a better quarterback.
I think the difference is Matt Stafford, yeah.
Well, we're talking about the Bears, not the Lions.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they've got Jay Cutler. That's another
one. Yeah, I think he loses as many games for you as he wins. He's played better this year, but I'm going to go with no on that one.
Okay. You think the Texans are a better team than the Bears?
I think they are, yes.
Okay. I disagree.
Okay.
That's all right. That's allowed to disagree on some of these.
Indeed. That's the first one we've disagreed on. Although I'm not so sure the Raiders are better either. But
really?
Yeah, they're a better team than they've been, but they've also had a pretty soft schedule. All right. Falcons, 7-7.
Yes.
Buccaneers.
Yes.
See, I don't know, because they've lost. They lost to the Texans. I think they lost to the Colts. I don't remember, but that was when the Colts were good. I think they're basically the same team. They're a slightly better Jaguar.
Okay.
So I think it would be close. It'd probably be coming down to the last week.
I mean, you go through their wins, and
they've won some games where you go, what the hell?
Their wins are mostly against NFC East teams and the Falcons. They beat the Falcons twice. They beat the Cowboys, the Eagles, and then they beat the Jags. Oh, and the Saints.
Yeah. And then the Saints is the other team, which, boy.
One's close.
Yeah.
I'll probably say no. But I wouldn't feel good about it. I mean,
I wouldn't be shocked if they did.
No, I wouldn't either.
Because the one thing that the Saints tend to do is chew up teams that don't play defense for. And by the way, they beat the Colts when the Colts were still had Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But wow, that's most of the teams.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we know this division is junky.
Yeah.
It's not a shock. Yeah. And it's the same thing with the NFC East. It's just bad football being played.
It's, I'll say, very average football being played by, well, no, I would say it's less than average because
it's less than average.
Although, at least the Texans are 7-7 and still have two games left against the crap teams. So there is that, which they probably split with anyway. All right.
The Texans, the thing about them is, I mean, I guess there is that glaring exception where they won at Cincinnati. But I mean,
no, beating the Jets at home wasn't a bad win.
It's
either.
Not a bad win.
That's a team that might keep the Jets out of the playoffs.
It might, and it probably should.
But those are because, those are the only,
because if you're going to be good enough to make the playoffs, you should beat the Texans.
Theoretically, yeah.
But every other win that they've got is against a bad team, and every other win that they can conceivably get going forward is against a bad team.
You know what? You go look at all those other teams we talked about for the most part, except for the Falcons, who just had a weird year where they started off gangbusters and then sucked.
And the Chiefs for the same reason.
Yeah, the Bucs are the same team. The Saints are kind of the same way. I mean, they've all got maybe one win that you look at and go, wow, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
So I think it just speaks to the – I don't want to say the league's top-heavy. I just think the middle
– Oh, no, the league is top-heavy.
But I think the middle is weaker than it's ever been.
And the Colts are another strange sort of outlier because they that win at Denver just kind of throws me for a loop.
Yeah, and
because even Denver, like bad Denver – should still beat this Colts team.
But even, and the weird thing about the Colts is they lost some games when Andrew Luck was there that they shouldn't have lost, like the Saints, for instance.
Yep.
Now, I think he's been hurt all year, which, you know, that if you can agree to that, then you can understand some of them, but still.
Well, but that's what happens when you put all your eggs in the basket of one player.
Yeah, exactly, but that's...
That's how they're built.
You know what? It worked very well when they had Peyton Manning all those years.
Yeah, and listen, when the guy stays healthy, it's not the worst strategy in the world to have one of the best players at quarterback. It's not the worst. I mean, just have almost nothing around.
No, but what
when he gets hurt, it's pretty.
And that's I think that's
pretty telling.
If you don't fix that offensive line, if you don't scheme to where he's not getting hit as much, you've got to be real concerned about him moving forward.
Because, oh, no doubt.
Because he does some of that to himself when he takes off running. He slides pretty well most of the time, but he'll also take guys on, which isn't the smartest thing to do.
And we've always said Andrew Luck, one of the cool things about him is he can take a lick. But, I mean, he's still a human being, and eventually that starts to add up.
Well, and I think the example I would use is Ben Roethlisberger takes a hit better than anybody, but guess what? That starts adding up after a while. And he's missed a few games this year. He's missed them in the past. And he's about as big, strong a quarterback as you could ask for. But you can't just keep taking those hits.
Yeah.
All right, what you can do is donate that vehicle that's sitting out in your yard to my good friends at HoustonCarsForKids.com. And I know you've heard me talk about the right off the car, not the kid, but here's what's really going on, man. And at Houston Can Academies, it is a great, great school. What they do is they're giving kids a second chance. Kids who dropped out for whatever reason. Maybe they had to get a job to support their family. Maybe they had other issues. Well, guess what? Houston Can Academy takes them in, gets them back in school, helps put them on a path to graduate, and they'll work around their schedule. They get them glasses if they need them. They get them transportation to school if they need that. They even give them a meal if they're hungry. All of those things they do because you donate your vehicles. And it doesn't matter what kind of shape the vehicle's in. You got an old truck sitting out there in the yard that you haven't done anything with. They'll come tow it free of charge. And not only that, they'll take care of the paperwork for you. Your donation's tax deductible. And if you donate today, you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. It's just their way of saying thank you. So you can take something you're not using anymore. Just make this phone call. They're going to come get it. You get a tax-deductible donation, and you're going to help kids get through school. And trust me, some of these kids are going on to do great things. And it would have never happened without Houston Can Academy. So give them a call right now, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday?
Bold enough to improve on a 4,700-year-old tradition. Are you?
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. Merry Christmas. I'm not going to say Happy New Year because we're going to be here next week.
That's
to
right.
Wish you a Happy New Year. Happy Festivus.
The halls.
Should we have the airing of the grievances? I don't really have any grievances. I'm sorry.
I'm good, man.
Other than Aaron's a traitor, but...
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. It gets more money. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Let him get paid, man.
Tim says, 9 out of 10 times when I have a bad day, listening to the Blitz turns my day around. Thanks. Man, we got to work harder. It's got to be 10 out of 10. We got to get the 10 out of 10.
Listen, if your wife banged like a banged your coworker, that's going to be, we can't fix that.
No, but we could cheer you up.
Maybe.
Try. Just go revenge bang somebody.
Yeah.
That's always the best thing. Just don't make it somebody's wife, especially not a friend's wife. That's all, that should be off limits always. Let's grab a couple phone calls. Jamie, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
So I had a question. What are the odds, in light of some of the talent the Bears do have, being Cutler, Forte, Kevin White should be back, and Jeremy Langford, that John Fox can get the Bears to a playoff caliber team in the next year or two? I'll hang up and listen.
Listen, the Bears are pretty talented.
They're not that far away. They just got to fix the defense. I mean,
and the offensive line.
Yeah, the offensive line
continues to be an issue.
But that's been an issue for 10 years in Chicago. And they've tried. They've drafted guys. They just haven't worked out. But I'd like to see them beef up the defense and get back to being what the Bears should be, which is a great defensive team, and protect the ball better on offense.
I'm curious what they do when it comes time to negotiate with Matt Forte, if they're willing to let that guy walk or not.
He's getting up there.
Yep.
I mean, he's still very effective, but how long are you willing to commit to a running back?
And I'm guessing with this new coaching staff, that's a guy they're probably gonna let walk away. Jeremy Langford's filled in nicely.
Well, you know how I am with 30-year-old running backs. It's yeah. Logan's run,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
Time for you to get fried. Let's try Brandon. Brandon, you're on
hey,
the
guys.
Blitz.
Hey, sports.
Hey, first off, you guys always lift my spirits, so, thanks for that. Going into my question, with our supposed quarterback guru of a head coach here in Houston, dude, it seems like we have a ridiculous epidemic of quarterback injuries. So I guess what are the odds that we go through a couple more quarterbacks by the end of the season? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I think you can only go through one more because you've only got one on the roster.
Yeah.
Unless he gets hurt, too, and you're looking at another one next week. I don't think it's necessarily O'Brien's fault that these guys have gotten hurt as much as they have. Look, the T.J. Yates thing, that was just one of the most unathletic runs I've ever seen. That guy hurt himself. How do you prevent that? I get now Brian Hoyer's gotten beat up and taken some hits from some protection issues, so I could see why that happened. But T.J. Yates was a non-contact thing. I mean, I almost said something else that would get me in trouble. But he ran like, he looked like a 5-year-old trying to run for the first time. You know, that was a total fluke. And, yeah, I think when you look back to last year, well, Tom Savage, apparently, that's one I'd be more worried about being injury prone.
Yeah.
Because he played, one snap, basically one series, gets hurt. This year he gets hurt. And even if he'd have come back, I'm guessing he'd have got hurt again. Hoyer is, he's always been injury prone throughout his career. You know, Case Keenum, when he came in, he's a tiny fellow. I mean, yeah, they just, I don't think you can put that, I got to give O'Brien credit. He's taken some donkey quarterbacks and gotten effective play out of them. Not great play. I saw something Tom Herman said, and I was telling John, I want to get Tom Herman on because I don't hear coaches talk about this a lot, but when you're doing a good coaching job, you can take an average player and make him good. You can take a good player and make him great. You can take a great player and make him elite. But you can't take an average player and turn him into an elite player.
No.
And, yeah, you don't hear coaches say stuff like that. But the truth is, what they're taking is average to below average guys and making them average to slightly good. That's good coaching. I'll give them credit for that. Trying a 57-yard field goal is bad coaching, but that's another story. So, you know, if they could get a great quarterback, you would hope they could make him elite. Problem is, it's hard to get those guys. And if they could just get a good one and make him great, that would be good. But they've got to address it in the offseason. They've got to try again. But I can't really blame the injuries on anything other than you've got a lot of average to below average quarterbacks that are physically not the toughest guys. Yates has the body for it, but apparently he's about as coordinated as. Again, I'm almost said.
I won't say that because, listen, I mean, he he's not a guy that should be running the football, but he's still a professional athlete. But, man, I mean, that can happen to anybody. And trust me, as a guy who's blown out a couple ACLs, I mean, it's you can be doing something that you think is just totally benign, and then it just pops. So I don't want to, like, clown on
the
dude.
Yeah, but I will, because the way he was running there, I mean, he was running like he was running on ice. And it was just that where he was on the field, just slide at that point. Yeah,
trying to get that extra 3 or 4 yards.
No, but he was caught in between trying to slide and trying to keep running, and that's when he started doing the short stop thing, and that's where he blew his knee. So, I mean, that was just a – I'm not saying his knee wouldn't have blown up anyway, but that particular play was just him not being very athletic.
Yeah.
There's something Lamont asked earlier that I wanted to get to. What are the odds Andre Johnson is on an NFL roster next year?
I think it's pretty high. I mean, do I think he deserves to be on one? Probably not. Not with the way he's played this year. But somebody's going to be willing to, you know, fill out a roster with that guy still.
I think the Colts probably cut him.
I do too.
And I think somebody will bring him into camp. And I would be, depending on the team, I'd be surprised if he actually makes the team.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's anything left there.
You don't think there's a team in the NFL he could play for, though?
Well,
I think given the right circumstance, I think he could be useful.
I don't know, man. I don't think there's anything left there.
Look at Tennessee. You know, you could probably play receiver for the Titans.
Probably, but if you're the Titans, wouldn't you rather try to get somebody younger, draft somebody?
Of course you would, but not everybody can. I mean,
I was saying this year that when they signed him, it's like, I'm not so sure that's an upgrade over Dante Moncrief, who you're taking snaps away from to have Andre Johnson. And you laughed at me. And as it turns out, I don't know that he is an upgrade over Dante Moncrief.
Just remember that at one point, the frickin' Patriots signed 37-year-old Reggie Wayne. You know what I mean?
But he didn't last.
No, he didn't last.
And that might be a team that gives him a chance, and maybe they find a way to get him the ball and playing with Tom Brady. Maybe, you know, you get something. That would be the only team I could see him going to. Maybe the Packers, where he actually had an impact. But if he winds up anywhere else, I just don't see it, because the impact's going to have to come from the quarterback. It's not coming from him anymore.
I see a lot of these guys who, when you're great at one point, you're more likely to get a chance, you know, and I think.
But you know what? Nobody gave T.O. and Randy Moss a chance after their last few tries there, and those two guys were great. I mean, there's no question.
True.
So I don't think he's.
Well, but they are. I mean, T.O. was a locker room issue.
Yeah.
Which I don't think Andre Johnson really is.
No.
I mean. I wouldn't guarantee it, but I think the odds are high that he can get on some kind of a team next year. I think back to when, you know, Ocho Cinco was making teams still, and Wes Welker was on a football team this year. I mean, will he finish the season? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd honestly like to see...
He'll be on a team, but I just...
This is one of those situations where I'd like to see Andre just say, you know what, I've had a great career, hang it up. But I also think that
I don't think he's capable of that, man.
I don't think he is. And I also think that he's still unsure when it comes to Hall of Fame status. And every catch and every touchdown and every yard counts.
Veteran minimum in New England if he wants to do that. Okay, so Sunday from noon to 2, I'll be at the Republic Smokehouse and Saloon on Bagby. Which, man, I'm checking this place out.
Smokehouse.
How have I not been there?
I don't know.
They've got oysters. They've got barbecue. Man, this looks awesome. So
I like barbecue.
Be there for the game.
You know that about me.
Yeah, well.
Smoked meat.
Nothing like smoked meat.
In my mouth.
I know you like smoked meat in your
mouth hole.
But it's at 1910 Bagby Street, so we'll be doing that for the Up for Whatever thing. I will be there. God, I've been to every place, I think, in Midtown and downtown. I've not been there. How have I missed this place?
You will be now.
Oh, yeah. I'll be checking that out. Ooh, deviled eggs, too. That looks good. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Guess who's next?
RJ Bell.
RJ freaking Bell.
I knew it.
We'll be right back.
Sports.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in.
Get back. Lock them in.
Get back to your phone calls in a minute, but...
RJ, are you drinking beer today?
Beer?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You don't drink beer?
You know, listen, the funny thing is, I grew up in a small town in Ohio. I think if anyone's watched Freaks and Geeks, that upbringing, it was the late 80s, but it was that kind of upbringing. Kegers, Zeppelin, I drank so much before I was 21 that I don't think I know I have not drank as much since. I know that much for sure.
Do you drink at all now? Because we got together in Vegas and Fred and I sat there and drank whiskey and you drank water.
You know what it's like? Imagine if you hadn't played tennis for a while.
I haven't.
Now, follow me here.
I'm imagining.
You walk out onto the court, and there's a normal dude out there hitting the ball. You're thinking, maybe I'll play again. But if Nadal's out there or Federer, you're not going to get back into it. I watched you guys the first couple of drinks. It was like Nadal or Federer at tennis. And I said, I do not want to get involved in this.
You're a smart man.
Yeah, we're kind of hard to keep up with. But I'll tell you what, next time we're there, there's an awesome beer bar in the Monte Carlo that we'll go to. And I promise you, we'll serve underhanded.
Yes, I'll have to meet you guys halfway through the night to have any chance.
RJ Bell, our guest, usually joins us on Friday. But since we're all going to be gone for the next 2 days, we wanted to get him on today. And RJ, let's start off with this Texans and Titans game, which apparently is off the board right now. Brian Hoyer practiced today, and we always talk about how much difference a quarterback makes. Is there any movement on the line at all if it's going to be Brandon Weeden instead of Brian Hoyer? Does he make any difference at all in this game?
Yeah, I think significant difference. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah, I do. Mean, I got to think he's 2 points better than Brandon Weeden.
I think that's probably conservative, to be honest with you. I mean, Whedon's a guy that might be as bad of a – I mean, if you really think in the last 5 years, who is the worst quarterbacks, let's say?
Blaine Gabbert.
The worst? Okay, you think – well, certainly Vegas disagrees with that. Gabbert actually thinks Gabbert's actually about the same as Kaepernick in the eyes of Vegas.
I can't – well, he's also terrible. He'd be on my
– Well, but what I'm saying is Kaepernick made the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So the idea that we're going to put Whedon in there in that category doesn't make a lot of sense to me, at least. But, you know, what I'll say is this, is most of these guys on an NFL roster, obviously they've got a lot of talent at quarterback. They were great college quarterbacks for the most part. Look at Clawson, you know, a guy who was a great college quarterback. Usually it's, you could say over the long term, it's the mental, it's the work ethic. But over the short term, remember, there's a lot of factors like did they take all the snaps in practice? And, you know, is this offense an offense they're familiar with? Like if you have a guy like Whedon that wasn't familiar with this, I mean, there's preseason for a reason. And I know we might say, oh, it shouldn't be four games. But if you think of all the offseason and then the training camp and then the preseason and then practice during the week, though backups don't get a ton of that during the regular season, then to have a guy come in mid-year or later, it's not just about his ability. It's about his knowledge of the offense, his knowledge of his teammates. And to me, that puts Whedon, a guy that even in his element when he was with the Browns and later with the Cowboys didn't perform well, is I think now you can't expect very much at all.
Then, okay, in your opinion, what should the line be if Hoyer's playing versus what the line should be in your mind, not how it's actually going to play out if Whedon's playing?
I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to say at least – I mean, the crazy part is I was going to say more, but I say 3 to 3.5 points. I think it's a real serious adjustment. Now, keep in mind, a guy like Tom Brady, he's worth 8 points.
Right.
So even with a decent backup quarterback. But again, Hoyer's a guy whose stats look pretty good. And I think sometimes when you have a franchise which is kind of snake bit, where they feel like, oh, they don't get the breaks and we don't have a very good quarterback. You know, as a Steeler fan, it's easy to think about Bradshaw. It's easy to think about Big Ben. But remember, we had, and I do his show, but we had Mark Malone, who was not a great NFL quarterback. We had Cliff Stout, for those that might remember, and Neil O'Donnell, who was okay. So, I mean, a lot of franchises go a long time without an elite quarterback, but I think when you are in the midst of a long run and not having an elite quarterback, sometimes you're more skeptical of your quarterback than you should be. I mean, Hoyer's a guy, by all metrics, is at least an average NFL quarterback.
The one of the games that jumps out to me this week as a game of interest is Atlanta and Carolina. And I've been a fool all year long betting on the Falcons. They make me regret it every time.
Hey, it worked last week, finally.
I've been a fool betting against the Panthers. And then I see this number and I see a whole touchdown at Atlanta, and I'm just thirsty for that Falcon juice. Tell me I'm crazy.
All right, so one thing we know for sure is this, is undefeated teams week 13 or later don't do particularly well. 7-6 straight up that next game, and 1-12 against the spread. Last week was another example of that. So the first thing I would say is, if you're looking to fade that undefeated team, good thinking, right? Because the public is thinking how great Carolina is. They're good. They're not great. They might be the best team in the league. They're far from great, though. That's one. Number two, if you look at the flip side with Atlanta, a team that's out of the playoffs, typically in the penultimate week, the week before the end of the season, is you have to wonder about motivation. That's part of the handicap. Every game your listeners are considering, guys, think about, am I expecting full effort from this team? Because my saying is simple. I always want to take points in the NFL, at least that's my lean initially. I don't always take the points, but I want to lean that way initially, right, unless the team I'm betting is not giving full effort. Then you can say Hoyer's worth 3 or 3.5 points. You can say that the Giants wide receiver is worth 1.5 or 2 points. You can't put a point value upon effort. Because you'll see when a team comes out and isn't at max effort, they'll lose 45-7. So to me, there's two sides of that coin. If you can identify a team you have a high confidence isn't going to give a 100% effort, look to play against them. And if you are playing on a team, be certain, or be as certain as you can be, you're getting full effort. I think with Atlanta, you have to be hyper sure that they'd loved. It's almost like, remember back in the day, you don't hear this much, but it's Michigan, Ohio State. Ohio State's undefeated. Michigan has 4 wins. They're not going to make a bowl game. But if they can just beat their rival, that makes their season, right? Well, in a way, isn't that what Atlanta's feeling right now? So I think the effort-wise, you're going to get 100% from the Falcons.
I want to ask you about this Colts-Dolphins game, because it sort of dovetails off what you're saying about what teams have to play for. And the Dolphins look like a team that had quit last week. This is a game the Colts really need, but they may be down to Charlie Whitehurst as their quarterback. They're awful, too. I mean, what do you do with a game like that?
I pass myself, but
smart man.
Yeah.
And again, that's something we say probably once a month, and those who are dedicated listeners should just nod and feel good that, yeah, I've heard this before, because, and then ask yourself, are you listening to it? The one edge, the only edge that matters that bettors have. Well, actually, I think the best way to say it is the only edge that matters that the bookie has is the 11-10. And you might say, okay, you got to bet 110 to win 100. That doesn't seem like a lot. Well, in order to win betting 11 to 10, you've got to win 52.4% of the time. In order to win betting 10 to win 11, like the bookie, you only got to win 47.6. So literally a coin flip, bookie wins. So now the question is, at 11 to 10, as a longtime bookmaker in town, Jimmy Vaccaro, says, it's the nuts. It's hard to overcome that. Like four aces in poker. But if you have any chance of overcoming it, you have to take advantage of your main advantage, which is you don't have to bet every game. In fact, imagine right now. Now, right now, New Orleans line is off the board, and right now the Tennessee line's off the board. By game day, they will put a lineup. Even if they're not certain about who's going to quarterback, they'll just weigh the percentages and put a lineup. The bookie will put a line on pretty much every game. They have to. They can't say, I don't have a good feel for Whitehurst. I can't put a lineup. So in a way, you get to cherry pick as a batter, and the bookie can't. That's the main advantage the batter has. It doesn't mean you shouldn't bet this Indianapolis game. It means that if you don't have a great feel for it, don't bet it. Personally, I'd like to find a guy that has a good feel for this. Because on one hand, you're so right, Miami, with who's calling the plays, and this coach seems like he's out the door, and Sue on the D-line, and him not being seemingly a high intangible guy in the locker room. You look at Miami, they're playing as bad as anyone the last 3 or 4 weeks. Then you look at the Colts and say, with this quarterback, I mean, if he threw 3 pick-sixes, would you be shocked? So to me, it's like I don't know how to bet the game.
One more that I think is kind of another a game that most of the time we're just going to lay off because nobody wants to give double digits in the NFL. But I look at Cleveland getting 12.5 at Kansas City. I look at how well Kansas City's playing, and you talk about a team that's quit. That's a number that I would actually think about taking the Chiefs. What do you have on that game?
I mean, another factor at the end of the year is you've got to keep in mind the idea of draft choices and the idea that I know they're not going to throw the game. They're not going to tank. But really, if you win a game and it hurts your ability to get the number one pick, I mean, obviously there's incentives going in the other direction. So I think you always got to account for that with any of the teams that's competitive, quote unquote, for the number one pick. And I also think that KC is on a roll. And to me, whenever I'm laying double digits, which is extremely rare, I want a team who's motivated not just to win the game but win by a lot, a team that wants to run it up on the other team. And I would say Kansas City could fall in that category because they've been on such a roll. I think they like the idea of keeping almost like a college team keeping that role. I don't know if we have just another minute or so, but I actually have a game I do like a good bit.
Yeah, we have as much time as you want, RJ.
All right, well, we'll keep it reasonable. Let's go to Monday night. You know, finally a good game. I mean, maybe the best game of the year on Monday night so far, just by recollection. Love the Broncos here. Love, love, love the Broncos. Now, the first thing that we want to get straight on this game is this. Is right now, if you look at the screen, it looks like -3.5. And you're probably thinking, okay, 3.5, Denver favored at home. But if you look at Pinnacle, Pinnacle is one of the biggest sports books in the world. It's an online book, but they take humongous bets. $100,000 in the NFL is literally like a $50 bet to a normal bookie. They are crazy big, and they are super sharp because the bigger bets you take, the sharper you are because the best bettors want to bet into the place they can get the biggest amount of money down. It's like the biggest poker table. You walk in the Bellagio, that 5,100 no-limit game is a lot tougher than the 1-2 no-limit. Well, Pinnacle takes the biggest bets just like that big poker game. Right now, if you want to lay -3.5, it's +110. If you want to take 3.5, it's -121. That's an extreme edge saying this line's going to 3 before too long. So I like Denver a lot here, but with the caveat that based on what we call the penny lean, the way Pinnacle leans tells you where the market's going, is I feel like this line drops. But the reality is Denver -3, if we can get that number, is saying that Cincinnati without Andy Dalton is an equal team to Denver. And to me, whatever you want to say about Osweiler, Vegas is still of the belief that him and Manning, the Manning we've seen in 2015, are comparable quarterbacks. If Peyton Manning were starting this game, can you imagine Denver with Manning and Cincinnati without Dalton? And the line would say these are even teams. This is just the fact that Denver's been on a losing streak and Osweiler is taking the blame for it. It's a bunch of BS. And remember, no matter how much I like a game, it's 55% at best. That's what professionals win. There's no such thing as a lock. But I think Denver -3 has huge value.
What, you're not going to come on here and say, I believe you can move on this game as if it's already been played?
Well, let me just say this for the holidays. You can sell your house, sell your car, and sell your kids. That was what a famous guy in the 90s used to say. But I was being ironic.
All right, RJ, great stuff, man, as always. And really appreciate you taking the time with us and look forward to talking to you next week. And enjoy your holidays, my friend.
You know, maybe I'll do some training with the eggnog and try to get drinking in a way that will be competitive with you guys.
Well, you know, you don't have to compete. We can lower our game a little bit. It's cool. But, but yeah, we're gonna take you to that bar and we're going to hit some really good beers. So
that'd be a lot of fun. Have a good holiday, guys.
All right, my friend.
You too.
See ya. RJ Bell. I love RJ.
Oh, yeah. Good dude. Good people.
He is. And I'll tell you what, he knows his stuff. And I always love that he's willing to take things much deeper than he does on most hits that he does on radio shows, because he knows our listeners. And he's figured out that these guys, yeah, that our listeners get it. And, I mean, that whole thing with the Broncos makes a ton of sense. I think I'm ready to dive in with him.
As if it's already been played?
Well, I'm not going to ever go
move
there.
Move on this game as if it's already been played, Fred. What, do it. Move it.
What happened to the music?
Doesn't matter.
Trader, what happened to the music? Okay. All right. We'll take a quick break. We come back with the gym of the day. It's a gym of the day that really has me pissed off. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. All right, we're back on the Blitz. Since I don't actually have a reader here, I'll tell you to come join me Sunday from 12 to 2 for the Up for Whatever at Republic Smokehouse Saloon on Bagby. We'll watch the Texans and the Titans, 12 to 2. Lots of great giveaways. Last week we gave away some Bellator tickets.
Yep.
So you never know what you're going to get. And give away a lot of shirts, ran into a lot of Blitzers. Had a great time. We were at Junction, which is one of my hangouts. That's my go-to place for UFC fights and stuff, although now it's getting really crowded, so.
Too many people know.
Yeah, I hate that, because a year ago, I could walk in there 5 minutes before the fight started, get a nice table outside in front of the TV, and never have to worry.
Yeah.
And that was for a good fight. Didn't matter. Yeah, but now.
People always figure it out. Yeah, word gets around. That's why I like to watch the fights at my house.
And that's kind of where I'm coming around, but yeah, I'm hopeful that everybody will just forget that it's a great place to watch the fights and go somewhere else. So, and I'm trying to get some of my friends with the smaller bars to do the fights and not tell anybody and just offer to help pay for it, because that would be cool to watch them, because I like watching them with people, because, yeah, you know, we used to go to Knicks all the time. I used to love watching the fights with you because I could ask you questions about stuff, but
oh, now well. Knicks is too far.
Yeah, I know.
I'll get drunk. I can't drive home from Knicks.
No, it used to be I could just stumble across the street. Now I have to actually Uber it home.
Yeah.
And then I get an Uber guy who tries to take me to friggin' Beaumont. Not that I don't like Beaumont, but guys, read your GPSs if you're going to Uber. That's what happened to me last time we went to Knicks. Long story. Anyway, let's do the Zadar Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadar Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. This is one of those that frankly irritates the snot out of me. You're bad at something.
Oh, are you talking about me?
No. You suck at something, you lose a bunch of money, and then you sue over it.
This is about the time that I sued the blackjack tables at the MGM.
No, I wasn't talking about that.
Oh, okay.
Two people that lost, they say, over $250,000 betting with FanDuel and DraftKings have retained legal counsel to recover their losses. They lost a majority of their $250,000 in the past year. And their lawyer says FanDuel and DraftKings continue to claim their betting schemes are legal despite the evidence that established the contests are illegal sports betting pools, which violate both state and federal laws. Well, more states are saying that, but so you're saying your customers broke the law and they lost money, so it's okay for them to sue. Give me a bleeping
this
break.
This is sort of like when you go to a bar, you get super hammered.
Exactly.
You drive home, you catch a DUI, and then you're like, it's the bar's fault.
Right.
You're a grown-ass man. Man up. You're a loser. You lost. Accept that.
And he says, FanDuel and DraftKings continue to claim their betting schemes are legal, which they are in most states, despite the evidence. And he says, whenever you see a person holding a check issued for winning a contest, we must not forget that individual people lost that same amount in addition to the house rake. Welcome to the lottery, dickweed. nobody ever says that about the lottery. So, oh, so-and-so won $6 million. Where do you think that $6 million came from? People who couldn't afford it. And if your guys got on there and lost, then it means they're bad. And you don't get to sue for that. You don't get to sue because you suck.
No.
Come on. This reminds me, this is a case that nobody will know about other than me. I mean, this is totally obscure, but there was a track announcer at a harness track who sued his employer.
The harness track, is that where they ride the chariot?
Yeah, the chariots.
Which is, I feel like that's, you've got to be the lowest of low horse racing gambler to bet on the chariot races.
Or really drunk in Vegas, which is what we've done a couple times. But, yeah, I somebody told me a long time ago, never trust anything that's not going as fast as it can.
Right.
And, yeah, But this guy was a track announcer at a harness track, and apparently he was a gambleholic, and he lost like $75,000, and he sued his employer for employing him as a track announcer at a racetrack, and he won!
What?
Yes! And I'd have been like, are you kidding me? You're a freaking loser. Well, that's what these guys are. You lost my... And by the way, if you're betting that much and you're losing, then boy, you're really bad. You're really bad.
Shame.
So, yeah, good on you. Congratulations. The lawyers are going to cost you a bunch of money. I'm sure you can afford it because you can afford to lose $250,000. But you both suck at the game. Go play something you don't suck at. You're going to go sue... Those are the blackjack people. They're going to sue blackjack.
Yeah.
General blackjack, not a casino.
No, just
but they're going to sue blackjack in general.
Whoever
yes.
invented that game of
yes.
blackjack. I need to get some of my money back from that guy.
God, stuff like that just irritates the living snot out of me. You know, you're a loser. Okay, admit it, you lost. Believe me, I lost my ass for a long time in a lot of things. Poker.
Marriage. But you're not suing the Institute of Marriage,
no.
are you?
No, you don't see me going and suing the priest or the rabbi or whatever. I'm not suing them because I got married and it screwed up. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Speaking of gambling, I think I can cash this Boise ticket now.
Yeah, to the window.
Yeah.
41-7. That may not be a manageable comeback.
Let's be honest, AJ. To me, it's only 34-7.
Right.
But
you're good. Meanwhile, I didn't play that game because I waited for the half point and never got it on my side.
Yeah, we were talking about that off air, and I went ahead and punched it at 7. I just figured, what the heck? The worst I'm going to do is push.
I got greedy and wanted 6.5.
And that's okay. Greed is good, right?
And then it bumped back to 7.5, and I said, damn it, I'm not even going to get 7 now.
Yeah, so if it had been 7.5, I wouldn't have touched it.
Yeah.
Lamont says, man, RJ Vegas is a Daryl Morey of gambling with his quantitative analysis. Yeah, except RJ's actually won something.
Yeah.
So I think he's – but not a terrible analogy there. Oh, boy. I've now filed a class action lawsuit against said carriage announcers. I hate people who blame the world for their screw-ups. Man, own up to it. I admit, I suck at marriage, okay? I'm bad at it. It's nobody else's fault. It's cost me a lot of money, too. Do you see me suing anybody over that?
Of course not.
All right.
It's like if you masturbate with a cheese grater, you can't sue the cheese grater manufacturer. That's on you.
For chopping off skin.
That's
no,
on you
can't.
You made a poor choice of tools for the job.
All right, well, if...
That probably isn't even a good comparison.
No, actually, it's a very good comparison.
Oh, okay, good. Not that I've
actually,
ever done that.
Trader will turn the music down. I'll tell you a good decision.
Okay.
And that's go hang out at Tupelo's. And today's the last day if you want to get your gifts wrapped. That you bought for somebody else and you suck at wrapping gifts like I do. It's nothing I'm not good at. I freely admit it. Get in there today. Go have a drink. Get something to eat off that awesome menu. Yeah, AJ did it.
Because I'm really smart.
Yeah, and they're going to make you look like you spent a lot of time doing it. And all you're doing is sitting here watching Boise State cover and drinking beer. You can't beat that. And they've got all kinds of cool stuff coming up. By the way, New Year's Day, they're having a hangover brunch. And they're going to have $3 mimosas and Bloody Marys, $2 domestic pints. And a great brunch menu. The food there is fantastic, guys. It's a terrific place to go watch all the bowl games. They're 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. And if you want to find out any information about it, you can give them a call at 281-292-3600. But go there, get great food. The way the TVs are set up, there's not a bad place to watch a game anywhere in there. And they've got everything. Rockets, bowl games, NFL. It's all at Tupelo's. Great food, great specials. Check them out. Tupelo's, Tupelo's.com.